USA at EGX.
Hello and welcome to the first... Oh, I turned that off a bit.
Great start.
That's a bit better. Hello and welcome to the first TSA at EGX podcast after a bit of faffing about with stuff because it was a bit funky, but now it's all good. It seems to actually be working. So happy times. USB mixers, always fun to install. We are joined today by some special guests who we've dragged off the EGX show floor. We're joined by John Brady from Sarcastic Gamer.
Hello.
We're also joined by Peter Willington from us and Nintendo Life and many, many places you've seen him all across the internet. And we're also joined by one of my best friends in the world, David Howard, from MediaKick. Say hello, Davs.
Hi.
Who you may have heard if you listen to Sarcastic Gamer. That is not the
No, that's
thing.
Me. That's me. Remember, I'm the Scottish one.
He listened to Second Nature many, many moons ago. And of course, we have Edge Chief Success.com. Peter Chapman, say hello, Peter.
The sex actors.
I don't think you said words just then.
Yeah, that's the sexiest ever.
It's been a fucking long day, and we're also joined by Josh Hood, writer at the Six Axis.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello, Josh. And of course, I'm Chris, and I'm fucking wonderful. This has been day one of EGX today. Did everyone have a nice time? Yeah, it was a long day.
It was a long day.
That was a long ass day. people over here, did you have fun?
Yeah, it was marvellous. It was really good to see. It was really good to sort of see all the sort of communities come together. See everybody parading their Mario T-shirts and their sweat-stained shirts. Horrible.
But, see, that was the one thing I tried to avoid. I was looking at my drawer before I came and I thought, I've got all these swag T-shirts. I should not bring a single one.
No, man, I'm not a Brink 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's what exactly. I was thinking. You've got this man, Chris over here, has a Brink T-shirt on, which I mean, one says a lot about his choice of wardrobe and how often he updates it, and number two. What he thinks of games as swag. He's like, you know what, if I've got a t-shirt, it's a good game, it's fine.
No, I'm just like, I've got a t-shirt, fuck it, I don't care the quality of the game.
No, seriously, how often do you update your wardrobe?
He's not changed that shirt for you.
I don't update my wardrobe, I just add to it, it just accumulates.
You should just be lucky that he's wearing a t-shirt.
At least I'm not in the bath. Can you just grab me that drink from behind you here? Yeah, so there were games, I suppose, and Vita, that was... John Brady here has been told by what you told by Sony PR.
Yeah,
you
yes, I had a quick go of Uncharted Golden Abyss this morning, the Vita version.
Nice.
It's a wonderful game. We'll talk about it in a quick second. But I had a nice Sony rep came, put his hand on my shoulder this morning, saying, "Congratulations, mate." And I'm like, "What? Oh, I played a Vita? Is that what you're congratulating?" He went, "You're the first person in the UK to play this." And I was like, "All right, fair dues." I got a lanyard.
Did you not get a Vita?
I know I should have had it. I made the effort to get there first thing. I should have just gotten a Vita, but no, somebody else got that at a developer session instead.
Yeah, because we were chatting to you as you came in, and you went, "I'll go," and you're just sprinting.
I don't sprint, right? This is something a lot of people that know me will probably attest to. I am a fast walker.
Did
you get Uncharted out of the raffle thing, or did you actually like beat up some guys until you got the Uncharted card?
No. As it happened, what they did to generate the games is what, like a few, like 10 or so pods or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Sony rep would come out and he had like a hand of PS Vita cards, and they all had the PS Vita logo on one side, and he'd have game names on the other. And as he was giving them out, I kind of saw the bottom side, and I was like, "Oh,
brilliant.
Well, I'll
I did
pick
the exact same thing."
And I stuck my hand in and went, "Oh, I wonder what this is. Oh, it's Uncharted. Fancy that. That looks like a fun game to play."
Yeah, I did exactly the same.
I didn't cheat. I just happened to very coincidentally, skillfully spot
cheating.
The bottom.
When they got round to us on Argo, there were four cards left, and there were four of us, and I saw. I went, I'll take that one then, because I can see Josh going to reach for the same card.
If this was poker in the Wild West, we would shoot you.
Do you know what I mean? I got fucking Hustle Kings. I got to play the pool game.
I heard it was good, though.
Poor Peter's like, "Oh, I've been queuing," and he was like, "Oh, I'll try to sneak in and just shoot some video," and they wouldn't let him in without queuing to come in with everyone else. And then we said, "Oh, we've all played," and the Vita... dev sessions in like half an hour. A bit, I just dragged him out the queue. Yep. He had a card to play the Vita in his hand.
He has a wristband that gets him to the front of the queue for the dev sessions anyway, so I didn't need to queue in the first place.
Yeah, because we got black.
But,
anyone else got,
I'm sitting here feeling like the noob. I'm sitting here, I mean, there's two distinctions. There's normal press and there's VIP press, and these guys are sitting there flashing their black wristbands. Oh, yeah, me,
black,
Dabs.
Black.
Yeah, we're just sitting here
representing for the Greens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're just
except to be fair, when Peter walked in, you got white.
All it meant
you weren't even
that's actually happened a couple of times. Like we've got a couple of white wristbanders; they should be green, but you know, mistakes happen.
All the VIP press pass meant was that Peter got priority to queuing.
Yeah,
which he didn't use.
I got to stand at the front of the queue. I think, which I only used once.
We were talking about this earlier. I feel really uncomfortable using that at like a consumer game show.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you're trying not to look too smug. That's the issue, isn't it? Just going.
That family are elbowed out of the way. We're really upset.
Yeah. Anyway, they were not best pleased.
Talking of the Vita, let's come back to
it.
I played it. Was this everybody's first hands-on with the system?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm quite surprised. I was expecting it to be a lot bigger than it was.
It's very light as well.
Yeah, I was expecting there are things
missing from
the guy said
that
this was not representative of the final weight.
Oh, really?
He didn't say whether it would be light or heavier, but
I have a feeling. I mean, I got the impression if you put that, only if you put that and a PSP side by side, would you notice the size difference? Yeah. It was really not that noticeable, and
it looks without, like you said, without a side by side comparison, it looks the same.
Yeah,
roughly.
And because it's so roughly comfortable to hold as well. I mean, the analog sticks are so nice.
The thing I found is, you play a DS, you can't reach the touchscreen comfortably on a DS. Yeah. Like with your, it's not comfortable to use while you're using the controls.
That's exactly one advantage, because with a DS you are constricted in that you're either using the touchscreen or you're using, you can't do the same function with both. Whereas with stuff like Uncharted and that, you can do both with either the touchscreen or the buttons.
Yeah, but I think with the Vita, I was comfortably switching between them without any issue. Yeah. I was comfortably moving through the controls into the touchscreen and back.
There's
onto
a bit
controls
on Uncharted where to throw a grenade, you press the grenade button, which is like bottom right of the screen, and then just drag to where you want to throw the grenade, and then it'll throw the grenade.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you could do that with your thumb.
Yeah.
So you didn't need to move across.
But
with your
even
finger
then,
to
I mean, for climbing as well in Uncharted, what you essentially do is the things you can climb kind of have little glints in the spark to show what you can climb, and you just double tap the screen to show where you want to go, and you could do that with anything. Like you could adjust the camera, and no matter what you pointed to, you just climb it, and it was no problem.
Yeah.
But even then, you could just switch to the stick and pressing X. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it feels natural to move between the control methods, I think, is the thing.
Yeah,
and that's what I like, because I like I said, I only got to play Hustle Kings, which is the pool game, but it was actually, I felt, for a pool game, it had a lot in it. It wasn't just like a flash pool game. It had about 20 different modes and like every type of pool you can play in it, and it made sense to release this as a retail title, because it wasn't just like, yeah, we've rushed out a game here, play pool and be happy with it, be happy that we made something for this console, unlike the
plus you can
PSP
cross-play it with the PS3 version as well, which is nice.
But the nice thing about it as well, which is something that not nearly enough DS games have, is they're like, no, we've built past the control, because you can obviously pass the Vita to play multiplayer, and they're like, that's a built-in mode. It's like, brilliant, because how often realistically with a DS when you're playing multiplayer DS, not everyone in the room has a DS sitting down.
Yeah.
Like, the one place you might find it is if we went into like the press room at EGX and just went, hands up who's got a DS on them, you'd probably have fairly good odds. Aside from that,
it's
so
nice
much
having hot seat modes like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It just makes it so much easier to play. I'm going to call Peter Willington, I'm going to call him Zero, because that's his online alias. It makes it much easier. Much easier. Because
well, you are Person Zero.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Did you get to go on with it?
With Vita?
Yes.
No, but I went to the showing and the discussion, and where they were talking about the conference.
You were impressed with that.
Yeah, the conference was really interesting. They had the I think he was the VP of worldwide Sony, basically, and
senior VP.
And they were kind of showing off a lot of stuff, and they were bringing in people from Studio Liverpool and a couple of other places, the guys who make Little Big Planet and that sort of thing.
Which, just quickly, it's worth noting how cool it is that EGX is attracting this kind of talent now, that these people are willing to come and give these talks.
Yeah, absolutely.
I felt that way when Nolan North was on stage. Yeah,
yes.
I didn't expect, you know, it's actually a world class developer, not just a UK class developer. Yeah.
But Eurogamer's always managed to do that. I mean, when they started the Expo up, 2009?
Yes.
And they pulled in David Cage, and they pulled in a few other people.
They had the first public showings of things like Mirror's Edge.
They're starting away. Yeah.
Killzone
2. No, 08.
When I
was
the second
year.
08 was the first year. I had 08, but the second year even. I mean, I'm young, it's fine.
Anyway,
I'm ignorant.
we've skipped over Zero's discussion. Go on.
Yeah, we're getting
well, it was a really interesting conference, and obviously there were, I think a lot of these speakers were very they didn't quite understand that it was a consumer show.
Yes,
they thought that they were talking to a lot more press and developers, yeah, and that sort of thing,
which is always an issue at consumer shows in general.
Exactly. And it was great to see. There was that usual sort of press mentality of just like sort of seeing Wipeout playing, it's like, woo, yeah, and it's like kind of and you just kind of think like, you're journalists, maybe just calm down and get a little bit sort of
well, not everybody in that room was a journalist. It's worth remembering that Eurogamer is primarily a consumer
well
event.
Exactly. And so, but they were kind of showing this technology off, and the big key word I think with the Vita is social, and yeah, they were very, very prominently sort of saying you can hook up on Twitter and Foursquare.
Had they announced that before this?
They have.
Because it must have been very low key.
Yeah. I mean, so they've kind of talked about that kind of thing. And what I find most interesting about it is the really interesting thing about Vita at the moment, and from what they've kind of been talking about, is that the exciting thing isn't within the hardware. Like, yes, you know, it's basically a PS3 in your hands, and that's fantastic. But the great thing is kind of what's on the outside. So it's the fact that it's got the fact that you can touch the back of it, it's got a touch screen, it's got dual sticks, and that's great. But it's also about the fact that it's got this near facility whereby you can find friends and see what they've been up to, and see, yeah, basically, yeah, like a stream like kind of Twitter, what people have been playing, and find new friends. That's really what's most interesting. And I think that Nintendo didn't really have much of a showing because they don't have much to show.
Yeah.
And it's very noticeable that Sony's kind of changed their perspective, whereby they weren't very big on the online, you know, they even with the PS2.
They were quite closed off.
They were very closed off. And Nintendo, you know, historically have been very advanced with this sort of stuff. You know, you could go online with the SNES and you could do all of this, yeah, fantastic stuff. But Sony seems to be really pushing that technology forward. And for me, Vita is... it's edging more and more and more into like a tablet device, yeah, where you're constantly, yeah, connected. I was really, really, yeah, quite...
You know, as long as the battery lasts anyway.
I was saying to you earlier, it feels very much like the next evolution of like friends lists.
Exactly.
That sort of,
well, that's what it reminded me of. It didn't remind me, like looking at stuff like Activity and Near on the Vita doesn't remind me of a friends list. It reminds me of the autolog that you have in Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, yeah, where, yeah, actually it actively pushes to you that someone has beaten your score or earned a trophy, rather than it only being there when you fancy, yeah, having a look at it. And that's the difference. It's push rather than pull, basically.
And I think one of the things that they were trying to sort of get rid of, this kind of public perception with this conference, was that they kept using the word portable. And obviously, you know, you kind of have to use that word. But they were sort of... there was all of this kind of thing, like Little Big Planet was always like, well, you can take a photo of something and you can bring it into your game and you can make a texture out of it. And we're going to use cardless AR and you can be out and about and do all this sort of stuff. And they were really sort of pushing this fact that this was a really powerful device in your hand and you should go outside and make your play experience more about, you know, we hear about gamification all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like this is kind of pushing in that direction. I thought that was really quite interesting.
For me, after I played with Vita, I went and spoke to a couple of developers over at the Guild Wars stand, like a couple of people I know there. And he was like, oh, so what did you think? I was like, it was brilliant. And he was like, but what version would you get, the Wi-Fi or the 3G? And I was like, well, the Wi-Fi, because I probably wouldn't use that 3G much. Then I went to the dev session they did, and after like the series of really good montages they did, I was kind of thinking, actually, I'd quite like it.
Yeah, now that you've seen all the connectivity, yeah, like, it works.
Basically that social montage, I went, actually, that's
why so many people have smartphones, because they want to be on the pulse. And
you've got
Twitter,
a massive
Facebook,
notifications thing in the corner of the video.
Exactly, but at the same time, I kind of worry, because there's all this, you know, there's all this worry about information overload and constantly checking your Twitter and Facebook and that, and I'm worried about having yet another device to do that on the go all the time.
So you're worried, that's like your dream.
But I mean, the question: do we
I've
know,
got a phone that can do that.
Do we know who the UK carrier is on it?
I think it's unannounced at the moment.
It's unannounced. I mean, the only one they've kind of announced is NG Como in Japan. Yeah.
But well, let's be fair, it's O2.
It's probably going to be
let's
O2.
Be fair.
If it's O2, then consider me purchasing a Wi-Fi model. For
well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but here's the thing: like, they've got, haven't they got Xperia? That's kind of. Yeah. Isn't that exclusive?
That was exclusive to
O2. Was exclusive.
No, they've got.
Yeah.
There's the. It's AT&T in the US, isn't
yeah.
it? Because they got almost got booed.
Anybody who knows yeah. with yeah, that.
They almost got booed off stage funny. At yeah. E3 yeah, exactly. for announcing AT&T, which was just people there sitting with iPhones going, "This iPhone does not work." Holding it up to them.
Yeah.
So the Vita was definitely it's definitely very strong today. I felt and showing off at this consumer show and the way they're showing it off. And it had a constant queue the whole day. But I think
a long queue.
The king of queuing has to be on live. Just
Well, that was a queue. That wasn't even a queue for trying it. That was just a queue to get one.
Yeah, that was... Do you want free stuff? Wait for an hour, then you might get some.
It was, so, to be honest, it's an exceptional bit of free stuff. To put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it's not hugely expensive, but still, they're giving away a 70 quid micro console thing.
Is it 70?
£69.99.
Yeah.
That's the razor blade feedy right there.
Yeah,
it's just giving stuff away that costs a lot and recouping it all.
Well, and you get a game for £1.
You get a game for £1.
And
as
even
well.
If you didn't manage to get one, you get a voucher to get one for £1.
Yeah.
But let's look at this in the kind of wider context. It kind of proves that what they're interested in doing and what they were talking about in their conference, because I was one of those nerds that went to everything, it kind of proves that their freemium model of giving stuff away for free, such as or very very cheap, such as this £1 for your first game, and they were talking in the conference about ad supported software, and that was going to be free. You know, can you imagine like playing a
game for free and having playing, like, yeah.
exactly
pop up? Yeah,
exactly. And it kind of proves this point that if you give people like us, these leeches in video games, if you give people like us this ability to get something for free, then we're gonna lap it up. And I think it kind of proves what they were kind of talking about
at the ad supported versions of Angry Birds have shown it works
exactly.
It works as a model.
That entire model functions completely. I mean, if you look at, like, say, Jaeger, the guy that made RuneScape.
Sure.
They made, 38 million a couple of years ago in turnover, which is something ridiculous. Yeah, and that's a game you play for free. Mm-hmm. But then there's a subscription model on top of that, and it's all about people that pay the most. You'll get people that pay a little bit. You know, they'll buy, like, a game once in a while on online. And then you'll get people that subscribe, and they buy and buy and buy, and that will be where all that massive revenue
and
comes from.
It's very interesting, because we're kind of at this point now, and Eurogamer has... I think, potentially, we might look back on it. We might look back on this expo as kind of the moment where... kind of streaming content became really, really big in the UK. Like, this is... Because this is basically the moment where everybody... We are the first adopters, because we all got one, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I didn't get one, but I think we're probably going to get one tomorrow.
Exactly. So, I mean, you're going to grab one, right? But we're kind of the first adopters. So we're kind of the people who are not really guinea-pigging it, but we're kind of getting into this. And we are potentially responsible for maybe killing off these dead old console silly formats whereby you're buying physical media. Is that possible?
I would agree with that, but there is one problem with this, and it could be exemplified tonight. As of the time of recording, the online service is not down. It functions for a limited amount of people. The exact error message you get is the online service, on live service even, is full. You cannot get into it.
It reminds me of like old servers when you're playing PC games, it's just 256 of 256.
Yeah. It's
like, we filled up all the slots. Like, oh.
Unless on live invest in some serious server power, and at which point that could possibly affect prices depending on subscriber numbers and all that. I don't think that's going to happen. What I see on live ads is a supplement, because I recently switched to a Mac from Windows, and I used to do a lot of gaming on my laptop through Steam. And half the games I have don't work anymore on Mac because I switched. But the thing is, I could see myself subscribing to OnLive, not only using like the micro console unit on my TV in my living room, for instance, to play stuff.
Sure.
But I could see myself playing stuff on my Mac when away from the living room as well, just because the opportunity is there. And obviously, hardware is no object. So I see it as a supplementary measure, maybe, to playing stuff. Not to mention, I like my PS3. I bought stuff for it. Supporting my PS3. I like using it as a system. Yeah. So I see it not necessarily... I see it as a bigger threat to PC gaming rather than console gaming.
I think
as long as you have a connection.
That's well and good now for the PS3, but in 2 years' time when the PS4 is being marketed, will you be looking at the PS4?
Well, I don't know. Sony, we're talking about a 10-year life cycle minimum, though.
But 10-year life cycle means
6 years.
Yeah, but there was a 10-year life cycle for the PS2 as well.
But I guess it's been, 5 years now?
Yep.
Exactly. 6 years in Japan.
I guess the...
Five and a half years since it came out here.
It's running out of steam. Yeah, we do any other big things we're talking about, because a couple of people have to dash off and get trains, etc.
I have to dash in literally 2 minutes.
Yeah,
so.
I know. And as there's zero,
we might as well stop him because I have to go and get Alan.
As much as this podcast will miss us.
Just quickly, anything else big from you three guys with to dash? Because Dash, you can stay a little bit. Yes. Yeah.
Two words. Two giant ends. Nolan North.
Yeah, I miss
as much as brilliant. The entire internet has ribbed on him for being the man of a thousand voices, each of them exactly the same. The man is very funny. He is exceptionally talented in what he does, and through the dev session in which we saw the motion capture, the ad-libbing they get to put in, and you know the kind of the struggle noises, you know, the and the when he's claiming and all that, seeing him doing all, you realise the man is actually very funny, very likeable, and hugely talented, which makes me feel really bad for all the ribbing I've ever done.
But it's the fact that he can do Nathan Drake, and he can also do the sphere voices in Portal,
and he can do the penguin from Batman Arkham City.
He does an English accent as well.
Just like off the bat, he's just like right away.
He does most of like the smaller voices in Portal.
Yeah, exactly.
In Portal 1 and Portal 2.
To be honest, you realise why the man gets so much work. It's because he's fucking good at it.
Quickly, Peter, anything huge you saw today?
No, not really. I didn't really see much.
You didn't play games for half the day.
I saw the Vita dev session and then I saw the id presentation.
Did lots of seeing.
That was about it.
Did lots of seeing.
And a bit of video.
I mean, to be fair, I nearly fell asleep this morning because we got like 4 hours. You got 3 hours sleep. Me and Josh got about 4 hours sleep.
Well, that's not our fault. That's whatever the pizza company.
That's pizza company's fault. And bad pizza. And I went and nearly fell asleep. There's very comfy chairs near the dev session queue. Massive cushions on. Other Peter, anything?
Sure. I'll try and run through it in about 60 seconds. Okay. So Battlefield 3 doesn't look as good on PlayStation 3. Big whoop. Amazing on PC. The single player is fine, but a little bit bland and boring. But I quite like the effects. Played Rage. I think it's dull as water.
How long did you play Rage for?
For as long as I could stomach it.
The one thing about Rage is it's got a serious severity with Brown.
Sure.
A lot of brown, and it also suffers from, I'm sure I shot you in the head, why are you not dead?
The issue I have with it, just very quickly, is not that it's... I quite like the world that they're building, and I quite like the visual design. Obviously, they were showing it on, I think, 360, which I think was a bad move. But the thing I really don't like about it is, at the very start, and we were talking about this earlier off mic, but... there's a bobblehead when you're driving through, and you see like the Doom Marine, like, and it's like a little bobblehead, and it's like, oh, look, there's Doom. Oh, that's clever. Oh, we've come so far. And then you get out of the thing, and then you get a gun, and then you're like, I'm kind of playing Quake, and this is really dull. Like, and it just kind of.
I will be fair, right? That's the one thing about playing stuff like that and Skyrim and all that at Expos. You do not get a chance to properly. Like, I hate the word to experience the game.
I agree.
I
sat down with Ray. I mean, see if you had the headphones on, it was good. Like, I sat down with Rage for an hour and see with the headphones on, the voice acting, sound, the soundtrack, and eventually it's really involving.
But you have to consider at Expo. 1% of people are going to sit and play it for an hour. 1%.
Yeah, you've got to take you do have to take everything you're seeing with a slight pinch of salt, and that's it. Yeah.
Cool. Two more things. I went to is it called the Retro Arcade?
Do you mean the indie? Oh, the weird bit.
The one replay.
Yeah. Metal Slug X, still brilliant. the other thing I will say is I went to the Indie Arcade and I played a fantastic game called Really Big Sky, and it's absolutely brilliant. You should make a beeline for
it. We're going to try and see them. I was talking very, very quickly before you guys. Actually, we're talking to the guys from Awesome Monster video, and that'll be up soon ish, tomorrow maybe. And we were saying that, given the space they've got, that indie game arcade is fucking tiny.
I absolutely love it.
They just make it twice the width, and it'd be comfortable.
The one last year was huge as well. Yeah.
It was a whole
if you guys,
it was a floor 2 years ago.
Exactly. I mean, but if you guys get a chance, and if you listeners at home are coming to Eurogamer later on, because I got a little bit sort of like jazz late night. Basically, if you do get a chance, go and play Really Big Sky, and also go and play. Go and look at the indie stuff. There's some really interesting kind of augmented reality stuff, some camera stuff, and you'll also smell the very worst of Eurogamer, because that tunnel is hot as the devil's arsehole. So it's really wonderful. So
I'm struggling to wonder out why you know how hot the devil's arsehole is.
Because I have put my tongue in it.
And the other thing I'll say very quickly, please, guys, go is you have all experienced this press Wi-Fi. Is
bullshit.
See, compared to what I've experienced at Gamescom, it was a godsend. The one at Gamescom didn't work.
But the thing is,
this does work for about 5 minutes.
How much can you complain about something that's free?
It gives you a shot. It gives you a taste of what the internet could be. All this wonderful stuff you're not.
And the thing I don't understand is it's limited to like 60 people, and the Wi-Fi is still crashing. We have to lose Peter and John now, unfortunately, because they have to go get trains and people to go pick up Alex. We will be back in a second, and it'll be me, Davs, and Josh for a little bit more when we talk about the other stuff from the first day of Eurogamer. Peter, can you come back tomorrow? I'd like to have you back on if you've got the time.
Potentially, yeah. I hope so, but maybe not. I don't know.
If you've got the time, we'd like to have you back.
Well, then we will talk.
I know you can't come back.
As a Scotsman, I'll be partaking in our tradition of getting drunk.
Yes.
not for me.
Is that scheduled for us tomorrow? Or
it's called Glasgow Kiss. Thank you.
We have alcohol drunk. Scheduled for Saturday. So we will be back in a moment, and it will be just three of us. Cheers, guys, for coming. This would have been longer, but I had to punch audio drivers and stuff till they worked.
That's the best way of dealing with that, I think.
We had to go to Maplin. It was very involved. we'll be back in a minute. We are back. It is currently just me, Chris. It's also Davs, who has just gone to get his Pepsi. There he is.
Pepsi Max. Cheers. Double caffeine.
Josh, who's drinking Corona. Because he's
my third since we got back like an hour ago.
Yeah, been back an hour. Jesus. Obviously Peter and... John
sounded like you had a stand.
John had to, Peter and John.
Is that our band? Peter and John.
Peter and John had to dash to go and do things. And we have about 20 minutes before we lose Davs as well, at which point I'm not going to do a podcast with two people.
I find that personally offensive.
just doesn't want a one-on-one.
And don't worry, there will be a longer podcast tomorrow, I would think, because we have like all your equipment working now. Hooray! So Davs, didn't really talk much to you.
I tried. No.
Keep boy dashing off.
Yeah.
So what did you enjoy today?
Well, I started off the day. I went to Vita first when everyone went to Vita.
Yeah, because
went
to the Vita dev session. The same time to go to Vita. Yeah.
And then I kind of spent half the day browsing.
Yeah, I did. So I just kept wandering. I didn't know we were playing anything. Just wandering around.
I kind of used it partly to establish what was busy.
You spanked me at SSX.
Yeah, I did.
Utterly destroyed.
Although there is no record of that.
No, we're going to do
by like 100,000 points.
It's basically a points mode where you go down a mountain, like loads of tricks. It's SSX, but it looks stunning.
So good.
And
so
it plays brilliantly. It was, and the EA people said that was pre-alpha.
Jesus. The thing I love is, and I can't remember who's talking about this, it's basically free roam.
It was fantastic. Absolutely loved it.
They've managed to create a free roam race.
I'm really looking forward to playing it. For those that haven't been here today, they didn't really switch it on until about 3 o'clock this afternoon, so I haven't had a chance to run it yet.
So it's basically a points mode. You get points for tricks. The better the tricks, the better the combos, etc., multipliers, all the usual stuff. And Chris got about 37,000 points. I managed to get 127,000. Yeah. But we'll do a recorded version tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow or Saturday there'll be we'll do recordings of it.
But that was very, very good.
I mean, we have some video content coming at some point.
We've quite a substantial amount of video content actually.
We got an interview and
we have an entire conference. We have three Vita game demos.
Oh yeah, are we allowed to publish those?
As far as I'm aware,
you're allowed.
I think it would be unlikely they would let us film them.
Yeah,
and then not let us do anything.
You may not publish these though.
They're only for your own self satisfaction.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
But, also played, and you played as well, Saints Row, the third.
Love that game.
So much fun.
I sat in that game. Like, I know GTA has this kind of stuff, but not this quickly.
For me...
Within 5 minutes, I was in a tank blowing up helicopters.
For me, it's the game
GTA wanted to be.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely and amazing. Absolutely incredible.
I'm going to kind of put my kind of word out there now. This could be better than GTA.
Do you remember when GTA was fun?
Well, see, I really enjoyed GTA 4. I can understand why a lot of people didn't, but I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed I really enjoyed the Ballad of Gay Tony because it sort of restored a bit of that fun to it.
I kind of didn't enjoy it as much as like just going around in San Andreas, but I think where Saints Row the Third might nail it, it looks incredible.
It does.
Looks awesome. Really, really good. Especially for a game that's not out. I mean, when is it out? Next year, some point. I can't remember when.
You could tell it was nowhere near finished.
Yeah. But it's got the mixture of Chris went free roaming, stole a tank, went on a rampage. I did one of the missions where you robbed a bank, but not in a normal fashion. You helicoptered the vault out of the building.
Incredible. I saw that.
And it's this incredibly dynamic set of set pieces.
Do you kind of get the feeling that that is a deliberate response to the bank robbery in GTA 4?
I have no idea.
There's the bank robbery mission in GTA 4, which is the very normal, you run along the corridor, hide, shoot some
and
people.
Then, And then Ryan from Media Kick was it Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah,
he was playing and he was doing something else different. Yeah. I can't remember what he did, it was so much variety.
It actually only comes out in November.
This year?
Yeah. November, the second week of November.
A little bit dubious in that case.
It depends how old that build was. But it still looked...
Yeah, there's quite a few... Yeah, it's worth noting quite a few of the builds that were Eurogamer were E3
really
builds.
It really good. It was just... It might have been because it was 360 build. I don't know, but it was very aliased.
But you also have to consider that a build from like E3 then is built in like May. So,
I mean, it looked...
The same was true of Arkham City.
The point was it looked very good. It was just very, very jaggy.
What did I see that? I was like, Tintin. I played Tintin. That was good, actually. Tintin is good.
Oh, yeah, when you played that, I went off to play something better. I've not been playing anything.
I've actually heard quite promising things about that.
It's a 2D platformer. It's got 3D elements, and they could lose the 3D elements because it's shit. But it's 2D drawn in 3D.
Yeah.
But it's lovely. It's not super challenging, but it's just entertaining to play, and it's as a... as a movie tie-in game, it's lovely. And it also, I think, fits with the kind of Tintin ethos.
Yeah.
Because they could have obviously done easily gone for like an Uncharted-style adventure with it, and that would fit in with Tintin, but it wouldn't fit in the kid audience at all. I'm pretty sure kids don't play Uncharted.
Yeah. Well, they should.
They should, but...
They shouldn't. They kill loads of people
kids,
in that.
Kids don't play. but that is a... Tintin I really enjoyed. However... The thing I loved today, absolutely adored Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
You were saying you're
so
singing
good.
Its praises.
Absolutely brilliant. I'll get to that in a minute. Josh, we haven't talked to you much. Vita, you like Vita.
Yeah, it was kind of a Vita day for me. It was kind of
Vita,
the focus.
It was kind of a Vita day for everyone. It's just like a Vita was definitely a standout.
Didn't
today.
You play the sound shape thing?
Yes. I played they sort of we said mentioned earlier it was sort of a raffle thing, and I got sound shapes which
but left with that.
which I mean
I Hustle Kings is what you're left with.
I'd never thought a negative thing of it, and I'd always thought it looked cool, but in terms of okay, well done, you got a Vita in your hands, what do you want to play? You don't want to play Resistance or Uncharted or but actually it sounds strange for me to be singing your praises of like I could turn around and say actually everyone should buy this game for the Vita if it comes out as a downloadable game. Like as a disc game at full price, probably wouldn't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But as it's a 2D platformer, for those that don't know, it's a 2D platformer that uses the analog sticks and the X button to jump. And that's basically as far as it goes. There's no using of the touchscreens or anything apart from the menus that I saw. May well, but I think there's a big create mode or something, but they weren't showing that today. And it's a really fun... It's simple, but gets a little bit more difficult. It's a very simple platformer with quite a cutesy little style, and the focus is on building up a music track as you go further through the level. Anyone that's played Everyday Shooter, it's by the same guy, and you can tell.
It's
in the same way that the more you shot and killed enemies in that, you built up a music track. You do the same in sound shapes as you progress through a level, collecting points and killing enemies, or avoiding enemies in this case.
It was... It was an interesting technique they took, though, doing it this way with like the raffle, I think.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that fucking dog.
It's good because everyone would have picked Uncharted.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, like...
I did.
Like, people... There was people that got Little Deviants. I can't remember who it got Little Deviants.
And actually, Dave did.
Yeah, Dave. And he came out of it singing its praises and saying it was absolutely fantastic. And of course, you would have never gone in and go, I'll have the mini game collection in the corner. Yeah.
The thing is, everything we played on Vita was good.
Yeah.
I still don't give a shit about Vita. I still just can't bring myself to care. But
oh, Chris.
What if it came in a Halo skin?
Oh, man.
What if it came in a Halo skin?
Can we not make him a Halo skin?
We'll come to Halo in a second.
That's fucked.
We'll come to Halo in a second.
That game is fucked. It's
damning. Chris doesn't like a Halo game.
For fuck's sake, that is just bad. But Vita is... It's good. I don't mean to sound like bad, because I know I'm so common with like hyperbole and awful hyperbole, sorry. I'm awful with it, but it is it's just good. It's just everything. Because I didn't go to the dev session. I went and sat in a comfy chair. It was lovely.
A lot of our praise for it has come out of that dev session where they talk so much about the social side.
That dev session sold me on the social side.
I think the thing is it's... But by saying it's good, I mean just everything about it feels solid. It's
very solid, yeah.
Yeah. It's just...
It's a well-made bit of kit.
It just feels... And even the games, everything just feels... consistently
it's not good. Like
there's no aspect of it that just feels like you're being let down.
I think that's the case. I think they were wise to not really give it to the public until quite late.
Yeah,
like it's coming out in December in Japan, which means that they're probably not far off finished. Yeah. And you can tell because this is the first time we got to play those Vita games, and they're probably all at their finished frame rate and the graphic.
Yeah.
The art assets are final and the sound's perfect.
Loved it though. But
when you say everything's good, it kind of is, because I mean the hardware we know is brilliant.
Yeah.
The games, it's got a good lineup of games, and
it's
good.
It's got a 25 game launch lineup in Japan. Yeah. I worked out the other day, if everything sticks on target, it's looking at something like a 70 game launch lineup by the time it gets over here in America.
Isn't it 100 games by March?
Yeah.
Which is
absolutely
insane.
Bonkers compared to. I'm pretty sure the 3DS has had two games since it came out.
And then you consider that there's this fantastic social aspect as well, which kind of was the thing that I didn't really care about.
Yeah. Like
now I do. For me, it was like, I'm only going to play single player games. I don't really care about the social stuff.
But it's not. It's bringing that social stuff into a single player game.
Yeah,
like it's like reporting when you do really well in a level, and that's picking up and getting other people to play with you.
The autolog analogy you made is perfect because it is very much autolog. You'd be like, by the way, did you know that Josh just beat you at this race? Oh, did he now?
Yeah. Did you know that so and so has just completed Uncharted or completed this stage of Uncharted?
I think the other thing to say about it is, you mentioned comparing it to the 3DS there, and it's just doing everything right that the 3DS has done wrong.
Yeah.
And also, how pathetic is the 3DS booth? The 3DS booth is just like, please watch Sky 3D.
Did you see the side?
Yeah, the best bit, for those of you that are coming along to the Eurogamer, please do look at the 3DS booth. Because it says on the side of it in big letters, Nintendo 3DS, it's not a DS. Like, that is the tagline is that
It has the big Nintendo DS logo with a DS, 3DS next to it, with 3DS logo even. And then it says, this is not a DS. This is a Nintendo 3DS.
Like, that is.
Word for word, that's what it says on the longest side of the board.
it just shows. I really think Nintendo is at the moment, Nintendo is at that stage. We all know that they're about to completely. Like switch around what they're doing with the 3DS, and they're at the point now where they can't really sell it. Like they don't really know what they're doing with it. They've got no angle or anything.
Yeah. The other thing I found with it that is ridiculous: on no side of that booth does it advertise a game. There's the not a 3D, not it's not a DS side, and then there's the other side, the short sides. Watch Sky 3D on this. Let's watch Sky 3D on a tiny screen.
See, even like Nintendo never does Eurogamer in a big way.
Nintendo don't do very much in a big way.
But
Nintendo are very understated.
They're even like their other main booth that they had, where they had Skyward Sword for its second year in a row.
Yeah.
And they had a couple of other little bits. There was like four demo stations there.
And there was
they
never
just
a
don't have
the
stuff.
Other thing is there was never a loss of people there either.
I tell you what,
there was no queues at all.
What's prominent this year at Eurogamer? Fucking the netbooks everywhere. Sign up, please, for the love of God, like this Facebook page.
Do everything.
There's a lot of that. Everything was using iPads. Did you notice that?
No, I see.
The Samsung booth wasn't. The Samsung booth wasn't.
I didn't.
They're using netbooks. Galaxy tabs.
Yeah, but there's tablets and netbooks everywhere. Sign up for mailing list now.
The OnLive registration booth. They were all iPads, and you went around the corner to the. Oh no, actually, Sony had their tablets as well. They were trying to sell them.
But we were queuing up for Vita, and they went, please register on PlayStation Access, here's a netbook.
Yeah.
And which was funny, because one of the netbooks wasn't working, and the other one you tried to sign up and you couldn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't let me pass the, is it perhaps capture thing?
Yeah, capture.
Yeah, it never let me through like after 12 attempts. Yeah. Have either of you been to the Samsung booth? It's not like massive.
Is that the one that's got, they've got Tekken and FIFA?
Yeah, they've got like the tournament bits. Just go there purely for the screens. Because they have a gorgeous
it's such a new Samsung 3D screen,
which has a tiny little bevel on it. The contrast quality on this screen. I walked past it and I just walked back just to watch. It was just a demo of Crysis. I was just like, I want that screen.
Speaking of 3D, did anyone notice how few 3D
there's nothing.
Like pushes?
No, there are no 3D TVs on the floor.
No, there are a couple. There's a couple on Uncharted. There's, I think there was one over where Ico and Shadow of the Colossus were.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any apart from that. Apart from on that Samsung booth.
Also, that's something that's worth noting. You saying that the show is so big this year. You say there's none on the Ico booth. I have not seen the Ico booth. The show is absolutely fucking massive, this year.
The other thing that there's not, it's weird. Like, Microsoft aren't attending the expo, but there are some of their games there under other people.
Well, there's they are attending it in that there's a Kinect booth, and the Kinect booth doesn't actually have any Microsoft staff at it.
It's manned by Samsung staff because it's their TVs that are there.
Yeah, it's just please play Kinect.
But they've got one Dance Central one.
There's no one on the stage this year.
One Gunstringer one.
Yeah, and then Kinect Fruit Ninja.
Yeah,
not as bad as the Move lineup.
It's Kinect.
There is literally only House of the Dead there, and there's two of them.
No, the Tintin.
There's Tintin.
Tintin,
yeah.
You can play with a Move.
I didn't even know that had Move support.
No, the reason I know this is because no one was using it, but there are Move.
There's Move controllers by the TV.
There's
Move
controllers docked next to the TV, and they've all got PlayStation Eyes on them. No one's playing.
No,
no one's actually.
I don't think anyone realised that. That's why.
It's because there's no one there demoing it. There's no one on that booth demoing. That's the other thing as well. Loads of booths with no PR staff there.
All of the
just
Sony,
like here's a booth, please play games.
A good 30-40 TVs demoing Uncharted 3, and there are no staff around.
This would only work in Britain, which everyone's just orderly queuing behind people.
And the controllers aren't actually plugged; they're plugged in to charge, but they're not even tied up or anything.
Well, I mean, while we're on the subject,
that is not steel. Please, TSA people, do not steal them.
Every Microsoft demo booth, because all the Microsoft ones are the traditional
the
Microsoft
pods
things,
which are impossible to open even when you got the key.
Yeah, the Ghost Recon when I was playing it like hard locked twice, but it's not next year, so whatever.
Yeah.
But the guy had to like reboot my 360 twice to get to work. I had to fucking jab fiddle with it a bit, and then you had to get the plastic off.
I'm slightly concerned about Battlefield. They were having to reboot Battlefield after every game.
Yeah, that's got to be an E3 build though.
Yeah,
it's got to be. I guess.
Well, it's got. When did they first show off PS3? Yeah, was it E3?
That thing's in beta as well, isn't it? They're doing a beta for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that beta, like the game's got to be gold by now.
No way.
It comes out in a month.
Yeah, so. It'll go gold in a week or two.
Yeah, a week. In that case, fair enough. Yeah. But
plus, they're not
and that won't be anywhere near that version.
Yeah, they're not.
That version will be months old.
Because they're not going to do any. They're not. EGX is not big enough to do an EGX build. They just use, and even if it was, they'd still use Gamescom.
But when I worked at EGX in 2009,
were Gamescom builds. I think
when I worked at 2009,
Gamescom build.
Apparently,
there was a lot of them that had like this is the Gamescom or the E3 build like on the bottom right.
No one, there is no one that says this is the year of gaming build.
No.
So do we
maybe Awesome Noughts?
Do we have any recommendations for people that might be coming along to the expo? The others said Saints Row.
Play Saints Row. Play Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
SSX.
Amazing. SSX. Don't play Halo. That is. That's
do you want to talk about that?
Jesus, that game is just...
Before we get onto that, I want to quickly discuss queues. Because...
The queues are good.
Yeah, there weren't... A lot of games were pretty easy. I mean, today's was preview day, so it was only half full. But the big queues were Modern Warfare 3, unsurprising.
I think you were waiting almost 2 hours there, apparently.
Battlefield 3 was about 45 minutes, but they had, I think, twice as many machines. There were so many Battlefield 3 machines.
That Battlefield 3 section is just huge.
Is it almost the entirety of the over
18
section?
It seems like half of the section. It's massive.
There's just this huge... And it's all roped off. So there's this huge like gulf in the over 18 section. I don't, there might be something past that. I don't know. It's just
all like binary domain and everything is hidden
binary
away.
Binary domain's good.
But binary domain's really
that
good.
That was good.
That's
it
good.
Did look good.
Binary domain's fun.
The other big cue was...
Binary domain is like the most arcade shooter I think I've ever played. Yeah, that game is super arcade.
It's good though.
It's fun.
The other big cue was Old Republic.
Old Republic is...
Old Republic has a massive queue.
The thing is though, I don't think it's a massive queue. You just have to wait ages.
It was a long queue.
No, it was the same as the Vita. Because if you think about it, the Vita and...
It's about the same length.
The Vita and the Old Republic are both... They both only have about 8 or 9 units that they're showing. And they're allowing you to have a quarter of an hour with them.
Yeah.
So you're waiting... Like, the length of the Vita queue line that there is
an
given
hour
is an hour.
Yeah.
And I think the same was true of the queue line that was at the Old Republic. So I think you were probably waiting almost 2 hours.
Yeah. I still can't figure out why people want to play the Old Republic. Not in that the Old Republic is bad, but in that it's an MMO that you get to play for 15 minutes and it's in beta.
Yeah. I mean, there was big queues for Batman and Skyrim as well.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, Batman queue...
There was a big queue by the end because they had to make a queue area.
Yeah, they did. So, I waited there almost an hour.
Did you know the reason
towards the end?
Yeah, but totally the reason there's Batman queues is the Batman figure
is inside
it.
That's quite cool. There was a guy...
And there are bat signs everywhere. Like, you cannot miss Batman at the Eurogamer Expo.
Warner Brothers spent a fuck ton of money.
Yeah. Anyway.
But as Peter pointed out, that's the only thing Warner Brothers have coming out.
No, it is. We'll quick talk about Halo because I need to shoot off in a few minutes. So
that's fucked.
I was surprised when you came out and said you didn't think it was very good. It was the multiplayer build, wasn't it?
It's the multiplayer build. Which, that's the Reach engine. It doesn't make any sense that it's fucked. It's super float. Have you played it?
Not yet, no.
Josh, did you?
I didn't, but I would love to play it. No, because I don't like Halo, so I'd love to play it if it's really bad because it will only confirm my dislike of Halo.
It's super floaty. The even with the look sensitivity turned down, you still just spin round in circles. Mm. It's got motion blur, it's got bad frame rate, it's got screen tearing.
How much of that is down to stuff that was in the original game, and how much of that is stuff they've fucked up now?
But this is the Reach. The multiplayer isn't the original game engine.
Oh, okay.
The multiplayer is
so
the
it's
Reach.
More it's more than porting the maps over to a new engine, basically.
Yeah, it's the Reach engine, and I'm just like, I don't know why this is broken. It's weird.
Maybe they just decided they wanted like. Halo Reach is for people that really like Halo. They've decided to make, well, if this year's going to be a cheaper re-release, let's make it more arcadey.
But it's not a re-release. It's not cheaper. It's the retail.
It's expensive.
It's full retail.
How can they put it out at full retail when Sony's putting out stuff with 3 games in it?
Exactly.
For like budget price.
You look
online now, you can buy any of those trilogy box sets for a tenner.
Yeah. It's because the trilogy box sets are just re-releases with this.
Yeah, they have to put a lot of work into the Halo one.
It supports 3D, it supports Kinect.
But enough to justify it costing.
No, not for me.
If you look at those trilogy re-releases, like, the Prince of Persia ones and stuff like that, or the God of War ones, they're not perfect.
Bearing in mind
you're paying about £3.50 per game.
I wouldn't say budget, but I'd say in between budget and main, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It should be like a balance. It's broken. I need to try it because I did look, because I looked at the TVs, I played it on one side, because it's like on a double-sided booth.
Yep.
And I looked at it on the TVs on the other side, and it did look better on the TVs on the other side, so maybe the TV wasn't right, maybe...
We had on binary domain.
Oh, the screens next to each other were... One was completely desaturated.
Like completely different games. Like, one looked like it was, like, polished and had filters out the wazoo. And it wasn't. It was just that it was... The screen hadn't been set up right.
And someone did point out as well... who was it? Dave pointed out that it might be fucked because it's on System Link.
Okay.
Which, like...
Surely it should run better.
Possibly, but it might just be like it might not have been optimized for System Link or something. It's just a bit. It's the word I used is janky. It's just wrong. It doesn't. There is no aspect of it that feels right, and I need to go back and try it again tomorrow just to see, like, because it was like the second thing I played and I was fucking tired. So, it might just be that. It might just be that I wasn't feeling right or something like that. I don't understand it because this isn't the single player engine where they've rebuilt the old engine and added fancy new stuff on it. It's just the Reach engine again with new maps in it. That's what doesn't make any sense.
The one thing that actually I noticed...
Because Reach is fine.
Yeah. The one, lastly from me, the one thing that I noticed actually at this expo was how many people were playing older games from like the last year or so. Yeah. And I think it just shows how many games the game industry churns out nowadays.
Yeah.
That people don't have a chance. Like, there was queues for Resistance 3.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy.
Like, there were, but not just that. There was queues for games that have been out for like a month or like 2 months. Yeah. And when all of the setups for OnLive, they've got a massive booth there. There was a couple of people basically at all times playing Space Marine. But then there was loads of people playing Homefront.
Yeah.
Because they'd never bothered buying it originally.
There were people on live playing Street Fighter 4. On the OnLive booth.
There was actually someone playing Jews X 1. Like, that was quite fun.
Jews.
Oh,
Deus.
For God's sake. Deus X. Deus X 1.
I've actually got a bit more time because I'm going to get a later train.
Are you? You sorted? You alright? You all good?
Yeah, no, I could probably do another 10 more minutes.
He's getting a later train.
Ten minutes.
Well, it's an easier route that gets me home just 10 minutes later.
Alright, so we've got 10 minutes.
I like the OnLive controller.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, we've got
I mean, I kind of like
here.
It, but I think
in our hands, we have quite OnLive, I like
the
micro functioning.
The micro console's nice.
It's heavy. Oh, it's heavy. It's heavier than I was expecting.
Did we ever find out if it's 720p or 1080p? I don't think we did we?
I was never asked.
It's definitely micro, though. It's like it's tiny.
It's nice.
It's absolutely tiny.
It's kind of it's about the weight of an external hard drive.
But then I guess when you think about it, if this can play it at HD, and this is just a netbook,
yeah,
then I guess that's perfectly valid.
Yeah,
it's two controllers. I assume so.
I don't know. Maybe
no. I think that's just to charge them. They're wireless. They're Bluetooth. So you may be able to do. But PC games support more than two controllers?
FIFA.
Really?
We did 7 play FIFA just the last week.
What I like with it, though, is...
On PC, though?
No, but if we had that on TV.
I just like how simple it is, because it's just like the back is all ports.
Yeah, it's very sleek.
And the front is two controller ports.
It's a nice shape.
Because the back is it's like power, Ethernet, optical, audio, and then HDMI, and like a, is that mini HDMI, the other one?
I think it's a mini HDMI, yeah.
And the front is just two USB ports.
And then on the
power button.
The controller's really nice.
It's good. Why they do mini USB, mini, why not just do that in the first place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, mini USB makes sense because there's like different context. I'm not sure mini HDMI makes sense.
I know, but why not just do mini USB in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, we're not sold on the controller 100% on the feel of it.
It's very plasticky.
But in terms of, it feels a bit plasticky.
It's got a nice weight.
What I do really like is it's, in terms of layout, it's basically, it's a six axis in that it's got two sticks at the bottom. But there are media control buttons on the bottom. Now, bearing in mind, they're pushing so much, you're sort of watching back other people. And
I'm not sure how much I'm going to do that.
For anyone that's... You say that, but when I spent a lot of time watching other people because
play
off of the menu, like I think gallery or something is one of the options. I literally do it, and there is no way. You just see a massive video screen of everyone. That's
I think playing. That just highlights the amount of free time you have, though.
But I think the thing is to say
the fact that I'm so cheap, I can't buy a game.
I won't buy one, but I'll watch you play it.
Although, like you said, the sticks at the bottom, like a six axis, like a DualShock 3 controller.
It feels like a 360.
Everything
controller.
Else about it. Yeah.
It's got XA, yeah. XB, well, YA,
no,
whatever it is.
Yeah, but come on, literally, it looks like a 360 controller. It feels like a 360
The top half
controller.
Is 360, the bottom half is six axis.
Well, no, because even
go with it.
The sticks are, like, what would you call
you
these
know,
bits? I don't know what the right word is. I can't say the right words, a 360.
Whether or not we decide that OnLive is the future of gaming in terms of streaming, OnLive represents something brilliant at the moment, and that is a game that you can boot into in less than 30 seconds where there are no patches, there are no like updates or installs or anything like that. You literally choose to play a game, you see usually a warning screen or a disclaimer of some kind, and then it's on.
For me, the most exciting thing is... If it works really, really well, like I've tried to use it, and it hasn't worked yet. But if it does work, just the technology behind it is so advanced and so complicated that, as just a tech geek, I just find that exciting.
Yeah, I tell you what, the thing is with this controller.
Imagine the kind of if that kind of tech was used on something like a film.
Yeah,
how
amazing.
Fast you're because obviously there's no processing, very little processing needed for that. Imagine if that kind of speed. Was on Netflix or the Love Film Service or anything like that. And I was having discussions with someone recently about how difficult it still is to transfer large files to people because of like the 25 meg limit on Gmail and stuff like that. If you want to send like a 30 gig.
Like the studios are looking at streaming 4K versions of films because using technology, the sort of thing that OnLive has, they can do it. Like ridiculous resolutions with like surround sound and everything. To the point where, like, we've been saying for people have been saying for ages, oh, there's no point buying into Blu-ray because streaming will take over.
Yeah.
Well,
those people are idiots.
The day that I was buying into Blu-ray was because the stuff, the quality that you get on Netflix and things like that, it's not the same, even when you're streaming in HD. But this could genuinely change things.
Yeah. For me, and, it's just, I still love physical media in the sense that I still don't buy CDs on iTunes. I will buy singles on iTunes because that makes sense, but I never buy CDs because I don't want to have, because they go, I'll make sure you back it up. Well, surely that defeats the point.
Yeah, true.
Like, if I was going to back it, I'll just buy the disc. Yeah. And I like having the thing, and I like having all my games on a kind of on a shelf.
It's what I like having about the PlayStation Network is that you can always go back and re-download, which you can't do on iTunes and things like that. It seems more of a rarity than the sort of norm.
And that kind of, I like having discs. And I know I'm not, like, I don't know if I'm the majority, but I know I'm not the only one that still loves discs.
Yeah. I prefer to buy PS3 discs than download games.
I would always do that.
But then I'm the opposite with my PSP.
I bought Quest of Booty disc, not rather than the download.
So did I.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the actual expo. Sorry to interrupt.
How rude.
Anything else?
God, you're not coming back, are you?
No.
What else did we see? I didn't talk about Future Soldier, which I think was maybe the second best thing.
Yeah, you need to explain yourself.
Future Soldier is good.
Explain yourself now, Paul.
That's a good game. It's just everything about it. It's because Rainbow Six Vegas was good, but it was buggy and the camera wasn't quite right in places. It's like they've taken everything good about that game control wise, and then they've fixed everything that was wrong with it, and then put it in a more interesting setting as well. So it was only multiplayer. Like, lots of the games that show are only multiplayer, which I'm fine with. But it was the camera is in a sweet spot. It's perfect. The cover mechanics are probably better than Gears of War does cover mechanics. It's just so, the snapped cover is beautiful.
Fanboy.
We like Brian Germain, but Brian Germain's cover is fucked.
No. You couldn't use it.
Hang on, you were just hopping backwards and forwards over punching.
Do you know
robots?
Why that was? Because I was being charged by robots with shields. So engaging them was a bad idea.
Did you get to the giant spider in Binary Domain?
No, I got to a giant walking creature.
The one thing I realised with Binary Domain...
And shoots you.
Yeah, and I shot it with rockets in the face.
How big was it?
Building big.
Yeah, that's like a spider thing. It's got spider.
Mine was on a spider.
It didn't look anything like a spider.
I think we played two different levels, that's why.
Mine was like spider.
At the start, you select a left level and a right level. Which one did you pick?
Oh, I picked the right level.
We picked the left one, that'd be why.
The right level is like a giant spider thing at the end.
Did anybody notice that AI in that game was awful, though?
Yeah.
Everything else was good, but the robots would just stand there and get shot.
The best bit, my favourite bit about that game.
They took cover in my one.
Mine took cover.
Well, they took cover occasionally, but then they couldn't navigate the scenery.
Oh, no,
at all. Like, there was a small pool
they'd be fine
at the bottom of the level, and they just got stuck and you could shoot them.
See, the thing I felt was, if they found cover, they were fine. It was just they couldn't find cover. Yeah.
For me, the best bit of that game was how their bodies kind of destroyed. Because normally it's like, in a game, you shoot someone like 8 times. Like, well, in real life, you'd be dead after the second one.
But they are robots, to be fair.
No, I know, but it's just a nice change.
What about
of
that boss that you were firing into its head for God knows how long?
The normal kind of mechs, you kind of shoot them and their armor disappears and then it kind of exposes parts of their circuitry, which therefore if you shoot certain bits, they go down quicker, which I liked. That was very cool.
Yeah.
So there's little bits where in the middle or the head.
Little glowing bits
if you shoot.
I love when you shoot the head and they just start firing wildly into the air.
But I had some as well where I took out the guy's legs and they started crawling to come and get me, which was a little scary.
Like
a
zombie game.
But the boss that we did was basically this weird kind of standing mech thing with biped with two legs.
Jump onto its head.
And then there's a bit where it's go to the rooftop. And I was standing on the rooftop, what do I do? And Josh was like, jump on his head. I was like, how? And then a little prompt came up, jump on his head. Okay, I'll do that. And then you just stand there and just fire. Man, it was weird because I had no ammo. And then suddenly I had ammo, which was handy. I was just firing into his head. And then it would do a little mini game of trying to keep your balance. I was like, really? And then it would fire some more. And then it would do that 5 times. I was like, I've just unloaded 200 rounds.
And there was no protection on this big glowing bit. It was just glowing.
How is he still alive?
But to be fair, of course you had ammo because that game is the most arcade a game can possibly be.
The point was, it had a lot of problems, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely fun. Always so much better now.
I think I've found a few games, actually, that I felt that way about. That there was problems with, and you could totally accept those, but they were actually really fun.
Well, that was my feeling. I know it didn't play at the Expo, but it was at the Expo, but with Driver. There's not a lot.
I'm really looking forward to playing
several things wrong with Driver, but they don't really matter because it's so much fun.
Yeah, that's true.
So we've got 3 days left. Are you at all 3 days?
Josh, we all are. I'm here for a bit of Sunday, but I'm here for the rest of all of you.
Two and a half. So. Three days.
I think my focus tomorrow is, like, today I focused on Vita a little bit. Tomorrow, if we get in early enough, I'm hoping to go back and play a little bit more on Vita. They've actually got Resistance on show, which I wasn't expecting.
Really?
Yeah. And not only that, the Resistance that's on show, the videos that came out do not show it justice. Those frame rate issues in the video are not in that build.
When Al was at Gamescom, he was saying it was far better than the video.
There are some design issues that it doesn't feel quite right for a Resistance game, and some of it, like, it feels like enemies should be animated a little bit more than they are. Like, there's one that's just hugging a building and it doesn't move at all. You just fire into it until it dies. But in terms of the technicalities of the frame rate and the effects and everything, much better than what's been shown before. Like, completely dispelled any fears I had about it being a rush job.
So we'll go with just tomorrow. What are you going to play tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'm hoping to try and get a bit of time with both Uncharted 3's story mode, if I can find anything that's running it, because it seems to be multiplayer.
Yep.
And Uncharted Golden Abyss. But I don't want to spoil too much of either game. Yeah. They're quite story heavy.
Uncharted Vita was incredible.
And then probably I want to play a bit of Resistance 3 and Driver, the games that I've, like I was saying before, the games that I've just not had a chance or was slightly on the fence about.
Well, I've got, I think I've got like 3 interviews to do, and I apparently am the on-camera face for TSA now.
Fault is that video from last year.
Well, no, it's if you watched the second video diary I was talking about with Peter earlier. I just automatically go into hosting mode when we're doing that. We start talking casually, and then in about 5 minutes in, I start hosting the conversation, which is really odd. But yeah, and we did Awesome Noughts interview today, and then I think we've got 3 interviews tomorrow.
Cool.
Which means I will not get to do an awful lot in the day.
So I've got 3 interviews and 2 hands on.
Yeah, I've got
a busy day tomorrow.
Yeah, I've got we've got On Live, and then we've got Prey and Rage.
I think I'm hoping to get to Battlefield a little bit, see if I can get on the campaign machines. I'll
never go to Battlefield. I need to look. I'm sure there is something I want to go to session wise tomorrow.
Starhawk as well. I completely forgot about that.
I don't know where the fuck that is.
It's hidden away. There's about, for anyone that does come along, there are 4 units. When you come in, there's like a crap load of Uncharted 3
that's
demo
a lot
units.
Of Uncharted.
If you go all the way to the left, on the back of one of those walls, there are 4 Starhawk units. It looks fantastic. From what people have been saying, it plays fantastic as well. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think play wise, I definitely want. Oh, I need to do Dance Central, I suppose. I might do that tomorrow. I want to play Fruit Ninja, weirdly.
Connect.
Just see what it's like.
People
Connect
look
version.
So retarded playing that.
Yeah, but Peter said it's fun and it works.
I was going to say earlier when we were talking about Vita, I'm very much a need a hands on before I'm kind of committed to a big bit of tech.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I first had to go on Connect, I kind of wasn't really sold, hence I didn't really buy one. But in Vita, I was like, I kind of like the look of it, but it's got to feel nice. It's got to be comfortable to hold. The screen is stunning.
I've seen so many previews where everyone was like, oh, and these graphics really shine on the 5-inch OLED screen, and you're just like, that sounds like such a dud that they've been told by Sony. But then actually, when you play it on it, like the game that I was playing was
amazing.
A 2D,
so good.
Very basic graphically. Like there were some red flashing bits where it was danger, and apart from that, you were jumping from bit to bit. But honestly, regardless of the graphical power of it, those screen looks gorgeous.
The real question with Vita, though, is how is it that cheap? We're trying to work this out.
I think none of us said anything. Yeah, we have no idea.
We can't discuss that we were having pizza and theories. We really can't talk about those. Because we're like Sony, we'll just cut off our PR.
That's quite fun.
Oh, we got lunch tomorrow. That was good. It's the best way of having lunch.
Yeah, I might try those fish and chips.
The fish and chips were nice.
The anyway, pizza's good, though.
But I might
tomorrow, you've got to go in the
yeah,
check.
Tomorrow I want to play... Well, somehow I'm going to try and fit in quite a few. Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, I want to do both of those.
Yeah.
I want to get some time with some form of Uncharted 3, preferably single player if there are some, because I've done the multiplayer beta anyway.
Oh, I played don't play beta, sorry.
I've got a hands-on with Counter-Strike Global Offensive anyway, which is quite handy, because cool. That had a really big queue, actually. Because it was a similar thing, like a 15-minute demo. And there was a big queue kind of going round the whole booth.
I need to somehow get in the Arkham City booth.
You know what I need?
It's good.
I might try and press my way into that.
To be honest, there wasn't a queue for most of the day. It was only sort of in the latter
part. I'm gonna see if me and Peter can, because I know that John got an interview.
Yeah,
When I was in the queue, three people did video interviews.
Yeah,
so
they're willing to do it.
I've got a need to play Need for Speed.
Oh, I want to play that.
Let's play awesome. That. We'll do a TSA media kick thing.
I'll
bat to you on that.
That means you need to go grab Peter with a camera, which is going to be awkward tomorrow.
We can do it Saturday.
The thing I said about Need for Speed, because I wrote that preview of it and it was Alias. The build today is beautiful.
They've got it's the snow build as well. Yeah, that's the one they showed off the other day.
That's the one I saw. I saw the snow build and the desert build. And both of them were like crap. They were aliased to hell. Have you noticed that next to the Need for Speed booth, there's like one Burnout Crash unit by itself?
I hadn't
like, even
noticed.
It's
just no. It's no signs on it. I only know because I know like the menus from it from playing it before from preview. It's just one, not even in the booth. It's just like by itself on the edge of the booth, just like clinging on.
Didn't we say that in our Burnout Crash preview that it was at the Need for Speed event, but hidden?
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't hidden at the Need for Speed event. They just didn't mention it was there until we got there. Right, we have to go because Davs has to go get a train.
I do.
We will be back tomorrow. It's going to be longer and way more people tomorrow. It's going to be a bit mental.
I'm planning to attack Wipeout tomorrow on Vita. Yeah. So
Wipeout!
Tomorrow will be
anyway,
more.
Anyway, more games tomorrow, more interviews. There will be... a video interview for Awesome Nauts with some footage going to it, probably going up tomorrow.
We'll see the Sony, you'll be able to see some of the Sony stuff they showed off for the Vita. Yep. I'm going to get that edited up tonight.
And there'll probably be a quick TSA video diary at some point, which will just be, probably when Alex arrives, and we'll just do a quick, hey, Alex is here, sort of, we played games.
Should do a surprise for when he comes home.
Just me naked.
I was going to mug.
I was
going to
suggest
arrived.
That, but I chose not to.
He was going to mug me yesterday, you fucker. So, cheers for listening. We'll be back with more TSA at EGX coverage later on.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.